Hello and welcome to Reflections. I'm your girl Nadine Edwards. Thank you for joining. I hope as you listen today, you will be uplifted, inspired, motivated in your continued pursuit of becoming a better version of yourself. Today, I want to reflect on a conversation I had with a friend recently. We were talking about his friend who lost his mother. And during the conversation he had with his friend, the friend told him that the mother requested that her body be cremated. And I immediately responded to that yeah, if something were to happen to me, God forbid, which is a given for all of us, it doesn't matter how I'm buried, really. All that money that is spent on casket and flowers and funeral procession and all that is really not important, because what is most important for me is my soul. What is the state of my soul when I die? And by the way, Genesis define a living soul as God formed man from the dust of the ground, that's his body, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So immediately we see an equation right there. Body plus the breath of God, and man became a living soul. So the soul is comprised, according to scriptures, of body and spirit. So when we die, our body goes back to the ground, and then the breath goes back to God who gave it. That is in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And so the wisest man that ever lived, King Solomon, says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 2, there's a time to be born and a time to die. So we all at some point must face death. And so this man, Solomon, he lived a life in search for meaning. He lived a life to experience everything that he could possibly enjoy underneath the sun. You talk about power, you talk about money, you talk about fame, family, career, love, travel, party, self-care parlors, good sex, success, name it. Solomon enjoyed it all. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it's a book that was written during a time when he was sad and disappointed with all that he was experiencing through life. When you read the book, Solomon kept saying all his vanity and vexation of spirit. Different people chase after different things. And what you find is that when you accomplish one thing, you chase after something else. Proverbs 27 verse 20 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. And then he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 8, man may have neither child or brother, and there's no end to his labor, neither is his eyes satisfied with riches. You labor and you accomplish everything that you work so hard for, then you die. And then some stranger come and inherit it. Or you have children who don't even understand the value of hard work. And so they squander your hard working money when you're gone. And then the wise man talks about those who work so hard for what they want, and the man who sits on the street side, who doesn't want to work, stick you up with a gun and snuff your life because he envies you for what you have. I know of scenarios like that in Jamaica, where people work very hard to drive a nice car, build a nice home or buy a nice home. They choose to spend money to buy expensive clothes. That's their choice. And there's someone who envies them and kills them for what they have, for what they have worked so hard for. Vanity and vexation of spirit. What in the world are you chasing after? How is that going for you? Because as far as I can see, everything seems to be falling apart in this world. There seems to be a fast increasing levels of grief, anxiety, mistrust, anger, hate, low morals, low self-esteem, sadness and depression, insomnia, conflicts and war, fatigue and exhaustion, heights of frustration as we see recently on live TV. Most of us, if not all, we know that there was an altercation between Will Smith and Chris Rock.
What Will Smith did is just symbolic or a representation of what is happening with a lot of people. People are at their heights of frustration. Many people are at their breaking point, suicidal, feeling a heavy sense of exhaustion and fatigue. But I'm here to remind you of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where Christ himself said, "Come unto me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, come. It's an invitation. It doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, how you think you are esteemed in God's sight. He esteems you higher than you believe. He is in love with you to the point where he saw all your faults ahead of time and decided to die for you nonetheless. So he sees your imperfection. He sees your past sins, your current sins, your future sins, and he still decided to die for you. So there's nothing that you can do that will surprise God. And he's inviting you to come to him with your burdens, with your distress, with your frustration. Come. You're at your breaking point. Come. You're tired. Come. You're exhausted. Come. I know there are probably days when you wake up and you feel like you don't even want to get out of bed. We all can relate. Do you feel a deep sense of sadness? A deep sense of emptiness, a void? In your day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. The wise man said it in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. If you work hard and you're able to enjoy your labor, it is a gift from God. He said it in chapter 5, verse 19. It's a gift. Enjoy your labor. Don't be afraid to treat yourself. Go to the wellness center. Get your massage. Get your mani and pedi. Take that trip if you can afford it. Treat yourself. And don't go cheap either. Treat yourself in an expensive way. Feel happy about it. Don't be in a guilt after you treat yourself. Treat yourself. You're not here to work and pay bills. You're here to live. Money comes and money goes. Treat yourself and feel happy about it. Because it's a sad thing to work, to labor, to pay the bills, and you die. And then somebody else come and inherit what you stacked up on, what you saved up. And they enjoy what you left behind. Treat yourself. Enjoy your labor. After Solomon went through everything that life could throw at him, that he could possibly enjoy. He was famous. He was powerful. He had riches. He had intellect. He had everything. He enjoyed everything possible underneath the sun. And he came to one conclusion. He says, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And he said it in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This fear here is talking about reverence and respect for God. Because when you acknowledge God and you respect him, you're going to listen to his words. You're going to keep his commandments. What he says matters to you. Many people will speculate and say, oh, the word of God was written by man and this and that is not true. But I tell you this, God said all scripture are written by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. And he said he has preserved his word from generation to generation. I can tell you this. The word of God, the Bible, is basic instruction before leaving earth. That's the acronym Bible. And it tells us the end of the story. God reveals to us through revelation how the drama on planet earth will end. There's a happy ending for those who have hope. And there's a sad ending for those who refuse to have hope. Because everything that God has spoken through his word, through his servants, through his prophets. His truth, whatever he has prophesied, has come to pass, is coming to pass, and will come to pass. Spot on. For God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. He said, the word that proceed from my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing wherewith I have sent it. That's Isaiah chapter 55. Everything that God speaks accomplishes his purpose. It does not fall to the ground. God's word does not fall to the ground. So I can tell you this, my friend. You can believe the word of God with your life 100%. In Christ, there's hope. So come unto me, Christ said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this rest, even in when you die, you rest in Christ. Until the day of resurrection, you live on, you continue the process. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 8 says, there's no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. Nobody can conquer death but Christ. He says, I have appointed your boundary that you cannot pass. Some get 5 years, some get 10, some get 20, some get 50, some get 70, some get 100. We do not know the timeline that God has placed on our lives. We don't. But we cannot pass that boundary when it comes, unless God chooses to extend it like he did Hezekiah. So we all have to answer the call when it comes. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalms 146, 3-4. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There's no help for you there. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. That's the New Living Translation. He says the dust returns to the earth and the spirit goes back to God when a man dies. Job 34:15 says, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. So again, if something were to happen to me, what you'll be looking at is my body. You can do whatever you want with it because that's the body. What matters is my soul. The wise man said again in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 5, for the living know that he shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. A life that is gone without Christ is like a dead dog without hope. You have life, you have hope. For he, the wise man, said in chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes verse 4, for him that is joined to all living, there is hope. For to him that is joined to all living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. When you have life, you have hope. When my time comes, it does not matter how I'm buried. Believe me. What matters is the condition of my soul, because the body profiteth nothing. If your soul is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, then there's continuation of life after death. Think about your soul today, my friend. Choose life. Choose Jesus. And if you're a follower, I join with the wise man Solomon in saying, be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 3. Thank you for listening to today's reflections. Join me again next week for another episode. Until then, stay blessed.